Good afternoon. This is Sunday on June the 12th. And the last time I recorded an episode for the Everyday Minister was a while back, and it was focused on the Book of Malachi. It's been a while because, you know, there's been a lot happening. I'm, you know, the end of the school year and has occurred, and I'm now on summer vacation, which is kind of nice, you know, just to sit back and relax and not have to really rush and have a full busy day of where I'm driving to work and from work and all of that kind of stuff. So it's been kind of nice just to sit back and be refreshed. It's always nice to take some time off and just to get refreshed. I know that that teachers have a built-in time where they can not work, which is nice. It would be kind of nice if every American worker had that time where it was built into their work schedule and they had guaranteed time off. That would be really great. I can honestly say as a teacher that it helps to restore the mind. It helps to reset the clock, so to speak. So I am enjoying it. I am getting some opportunity to do some reading, which is good. I'm getting some opportunity to get some extra sleep in, which is good. One of the books that I'm reading right now is called The Men We Need, and it's by Brant Hansen. And so far, it is a very good book. If you're a man and you're a Christian man and you really want to be the man that our society needs, I would encourage you to read this book. It's called The Men We Need. I took a little while to try to figure out where I was going to go because I finished the book of Malachi. So where do I go from here? And that's always the question, at least in my mind, is once I finish something, what do I start? What's the next thing that I start? And I've tossed around a couple of ideas in my mind. I was going to go into the book of Jude, and then I maybe 1 Peter, 2 Peter, maybe James, I wanted to do something from the New Testament, but I wasn't sure where to go. So, I didn't know if I wanted to jump into a Bible study that's a personal Bible study or to do a Bible study. See, I'm kind of involved in a couple of different Bible studies right now. There's a men's organization that was organized and founded by a man named Jarrett Samuels, and he's out of Indianapolis, Indiana, and it's called The Tribe. And he has a podcast, and his podcast is called The Pursuit of Manliness. And I'm in Tribe. And we are doing a Bible study in there where we focus on different men of the Bible. We're looking at Jesus. We looked at Cain. We looked at Abel. We looked at Adam. And, you know, we're going to look at various men throughout the Bible. And so I was thinking, well, maybe I could do something with that. But then at church, I attend Hillside Community Church here in Rancho Cucamonga, which is a phenomenal church. If anybody is local to Rancho Cucamonga and you're looking for a church, this would be a church that I would encourage you to at least investigate. Hillside Community Church has a community of single people. Now, this is not just young singles. This is single people that are single by any means, you know, whether it's divorced or through or widowed or never married or, you know, whatever it may be. We have a community of singles at our church that do events together. We do studies together, and we go and hang out at restaurants together. And it's not a dating thing. It's not it's not a group to where, you know, people are trying to date each other. It's just a group of Christian singles that enjoy each other's company. So in our singles group, and we don't have a name for the group or anything, I mean, other than Hillside Singles. I mean, yeah, we're real creative in that aspect. But we are starting a study of the book of Philippians. And that is one name that I always misspell, because it only has one L in it. And this study is, it's from a book, and it's, the book is called Fighting with Faith. And it's a study on the book of Philippians. So I was thinking, well, you know, since we're doing that study on the book of Philippians, why don't I just go ahead and spend some time in the book of Philippians? And so I'm not overloading my plate, so to speak. And so I think that's what I'm going to do. And so I'm going to let this book be my guide as far as helping me to create these podcasts and to walk with you through the book of Philippians. So, you know, in the book, the way the book is set up, it's set up like the first one, it's week one, day one. And on week one, day one, it asks you to read the entire book of Philippians. Now, it's only four chapters, so that's not a big deal. And I did today, I did read through the four chapters of Philippians. And so before we get started, though, I would like to at least get an idea of the setting and the historical context of the book of Philippians, which this study book here gives a little bit of insight into why the letter, the epistle, the word epistle means letter, why the epistle of Philippians was written. So looking at this, and there's not a, I didn't know a lot about the book of Philippians before today, and so I'm kind of going to be learning about the book of Philippians as we go through this study and as I create these podcasts. But according to what I'm reading here, the epistle of Philippians is a thank you note. And that's one thing I'm not real good at. I'm not real good at writing thank you notes. In fact, I'm not real good at writing, period. I can speak better than I can write. I'm not real good at organizing my thoughts on the paper or in a computer or typing it out or anything like that. But one thing that Paul was very good at, and obviously he did not have social media, he did not have computers, he did not have things like that. But one thing that Paul was very good at was writing. Paul was a good writer. In fact, Paul wrote at least half of the New Testament was written by the apostle Paul, which his previous name was Saul. A little background on him, if you're not familiar, is that his previous name was Saul. And he was a man, a vicious man. He was a man that hunted down Christians and he murdered Christians. He had Christians put to death. He was not a good man. As he was on the road to Damascus in order to hunt down some Christians, Jesus met him on the road to Damascus and blinded him. And then through this experience, he came to know Jesus. And once he came to know Jesus, he was a sold out Christian. Carmen, the singer that I, one of the singers that I grew up with, he had a song that was called Radically Saved. And I really see Paul as an example of a person who was radically saved. So Philippians is a letter to the church at Philippi, and it was a thank you note, okay, written to the Christian church, and it was the church of Philippi had sent some financial support to Paul while he was in prison in Rome. And so this letter was written from prison by Paul to the church at Philippi. And it was in appreciation of the Philippian church. The Philippian church was a church that supported Paul's ministry when other churches did not. As I said, Paul was in prison during this time. So Philippi was a city that was in the Roman colony. It was a Roman colony, and the people of Philippi were devoted to Rome. They worshipped the emperor of Rome, and anybody that did not fall in line and did not worship the Roman Empire and worship the emperor, they were ostracized. As this is the word that this book used, they were ostracized. So. So that's the thing is that Rome was the government of this city, and so the Christians and the people of the Church of Philippi, as other churches were, they were persecuted. They were persecuted. So that's kind of the setting that we're dealing with right here. And as I read through the book of the Bible book, the epistle of Philippians, we see that one of the repeated phrases that I see over and over in this short letter, or this short thank you note, is some form of the name of Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, we see that it says Christ Jesus. We see Christ Jesus, we see Jesus Christ, we see Christ Jesus. Again, throughout, we see the word Christ, we see the word the Lord, we see different forms of descriptions of Jesus, but we see this repeated over and over in this book. I also see the word or some form of the words the gospel repeated multiple times. The name of God is repeated, like the Father, that kind of stuff is repeated throughout this short epistle. And the idea of grace and humility is repeated throughout as well. So that's kind of the context of where we're starting at. And so I'm kind of interested to get into this book and to learn more about the book of Philippians. And I'm going to kind of follow along with this study guide that I have, like I said, the Fighting with Faith study guide. I'm going to kind of follow along with that. And so the segments that I do may not be long segments. They might be short segments. I don't know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. It depends on how long-winded I am at the time. All right, so I'm going to take a short break right now. And then on the other side of the break, I think we're going to get into some discussion on the segment that is on day two. And that segment is Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. All right, so I will get back with you on the other side of the break. Welcome back. I thank you for sticking with me on this podcast. So again, we're going to be looking at verses 1 and 2 of chapter 1 of Philippians, which reads, in the NIV, it reads, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so this is a short segment. It begins with two names, Paul and Timothy. From everything that I can see, Paul is the one that wrote this book. He's the one that wrote the letter. He wrote it from prison. And he wrote it to the church of Philippi. So the question we have right here that we're starting with is, why is Timothy's name in here? And the only thing I know is that Timothy supported Paul. He was a co-worker or a colleague of Paul. In Paul's ministry, Timothy was an apostle that served alongside of Paul. And so I am hypothesizing that that Paul included Timothy's name here in order to give him credit, or at least to show that Timothy was working alongside of Paul. Now, it says here, servants, in the NIV it says servants, in the other versions it says bond servants. I believe that the word servants here is in line with the idea of the word slaves. Okay, now this is not a slave to a dictatorial taskmaster. I mean, it was, Paul was trying to get the idea is that we serve Jesus Christ. We are servants of Christ. Maybe it's more along the idea is that of service to Christ is that is that Christ is our teacher. Christ is our master. Christ is our Lord. And I'm always fascinated with that word Lord, okay? Because, not being in a government system that has lords, okay? I'm not real familiar with, what a Lord is. I mean, we see books such as The Lord of the Rings. We see movies that says Lord Vader, okay? But what is a Lord? Okay. All I know is that the word Lord has to do with ruler, being a ruler or, rulership. When we're looking at the word servants here, we're looking at, being a person who is in the service of an authority, of a ruling authority. And Christ Jesus here is the ruling authority. Now, we know the word Christ is more of a title. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. And Jesus was his name. Now, Jesus was not his... Jesus is the English translation of his name, of his Greek name, or of his Hebrew name, probably. But Jesus, Jesus, was not his Hebrew name. Okay, it was not his Greek name. It was not his biblical name, so to speak. So Christ Jesus. Christ is the title. Jesus is the name. So what in the very first part of this, it says, Paul and Timothy, who are servants of Christ Jesus. This is who the letter was written by Paul. And then it says, it follows that, and it says, to all the saints. To all the saints. Now, in our Christian world, we have Catholicism, we have Protestantism, and depending on your background, you may have a different interpretation of the word saints. Now, in my view, the word saints is a follower of Christ. The word saints is... It doesn't mean that saints are not people that we worship. I mean, we see all kinds of stuff, St. Nicholas, we see St. Augustus, different uses of the word saints. Okay, we also have the New Orleans Saints, which I'm not a football guy, so I don't know anything about that. But the word saints... of course, the old song, the saints will go marching in. Okay. The way I see the word saints is I see it as Christ followers. Now, it doesn't make me, if someone were to call me a saint, which in all humility, I don't know, that's kind of a big word to live up to. It means that one who is set apart for the service of Christ. Okay. So it is those people who have chosen, who were chosen by Christ and who have chosen to follow Christ. It is in the early church, it would have been those, early converts to Christianity. So it says to all the saints, and not to some of the saints, okay, but to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi. Okay, again referencing the city of Philippi that was under the government of Rome. So it says, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. So I love the word, the use of the word together. It says, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together. One thing that I really get out of this is that a church should be united together. We should be in community together, okay? Is that we shouldn't be a divided church, you know? And so, you know, whichever congregation you are a part of, I really hope that your congregation is together, okay? But it says, together with the overseers and deacons, okay? These are two words that they indicate some form of church authority. The word overseers, as I see it, is people that watch over the flock. Is a watch over the flock. The word deacons has something to do with the rulership, or not necessarily rulership, but they're in the leadership of the church. They're in the leadership of the church. So, so 1 Timothy 3:8. If we look back at 1 Timothy 3:8, I'm going to go there real quick, and you'll hear my Bible flipping here. So 1 Timothy 3:8. Find it. That's Hebrews, Philemon. Here it is. 1 Timothy 3:8. And it says, deacons, likewise, are to be men worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. All right. So this gives some qualifications for being a deacon, which again is a person in leadership of a community of followers of Christ. They are to be men worthy of respect, sincere. They're supposed to be, they should not indulge in much wine and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience, which means they should be studying the Word of God. They should be in the Word of God every day. And they must first be tested, okay? And then if there's nothing against them, they let them serve as deacons. So these are people that are in the leadership of the local church. All right. As far as the word overseers, I'm going to turn to 1 Timothy 3:1. And 1 Timothy 3:1 says, here is a trustworthy saying. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, says, here's a trustworthy saying. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. Now the overseer must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to much wine, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. in parentheses, it says here, if anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? An overseer must not be a recent convert, or he can become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. Talking about deacons, this goes on to say, in the same way, their wives, the deacons' wives, are to be women worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. A deacon must be the husband of but one wife, and must manage his children and his household well. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing in the great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. Okay, so we're seeing some qualifications here for being an overseer and a deacon. An overseer and a deacon are, they're in the leadership of the church, but they should be people that are respected. Men who are under the authority of Christ Jesus. I'm going to turn over here to Titus, the book of Titus. The book of Titus is a small book, but it also has some information about being a deacon. Let's see if I can find it again. But yeah, so Titus. I saw it and now I'm not seeing it. I'm looking in the wrong place. But Titus 1:7, that's what I'm looking for. Titus 1:7, chapter 1, verse 7. Let me get back to Titus again. That's on page 1220 in my Bible. Again, Titus is a very small book. All right, so let's see here. It says, since an overseer is entrusted with God's work, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to much wine, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. So this is more information about being an overseer. So as we're looking at Philippians chapter 1, the titles of overseers and deacons hold a heavy responsibility. These two positions in the church should not be taken lightly. And, we need to make sure we're following the biblical narrative, the biblical understanding of what a overseer and a deacon is. We must honor God and honor His word whenever we're serving in the church and outside of the church. And that's, so we go back and we examine what an overseer and a deacon is. Now in verse 2, it says, grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. What is grace? Grace is a word that we use a lot of time. But grace is when we deserve punishment, but we don't get it, okay? And peace, grace and peace are two things that are granted to us through the Spirit of Christ. Is that true peace can only come when you are in relationship with Jesus Christ. You cannot have peace outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of times, you know, people who are not Christians will use the word peace. But outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ, we can't have peace. Because your spirit is going to be seeking that relationship with Christ. And, you know, we see a lot of anxiety in our world. And, you know, I don't see a whole lot of peace outside of that relationship. So I what Paul is extending here to the Philippian church, he's extending grace and peace to the Philippians. But the grace and peace to the Philippians, it doesn't come from Paul. Paul says right here, grace and peace comes from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where grace and peace comes from. We can extend grace to each other. We can be at peace with each other. But ultimately, the gifts of grace and peace come from God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. So, that is the first two verses of the book of Philippians, which is where I'm going to end today. And I just appreciate your patience with me as I go through and look at these passages. I'm going to take one final break, and then I'm going to come back and I'm going to pray us out and pray that you would have a blessed rest of your day. Welcome back from break, and I want to thank you for spending your time with me and listening to this podcast. I'm really hoping that this podcast blesses you. I'm hoping that it helps you to grow in your faith and grow in your walk with Christ. I'm growing in my faith. I'm growing in my walk with Christ. And, I don't believe there's anyone right now that has, as long as you're still here on this earth, you're not finished yet. And I'm not finished yet. And there's a whole lot of chiseling that needs to be done, and there's a whole lot of recreating of ourselves that needs to be done. And there's a whole lot of grace that we need from our Lord Jesus Christ. So as I said, I am going to pray with you, and I'm going to ask the Lord to bless the rest of your day. And I pray that you would really take to heart the words that are in God's, in that are in the Bible. The Bible is God's word. And I pray that you, would not use this podcast, that you would not use any other podcast as a replacement for your personal study of God's Word. We should all be in God's Word every day. Not just devotionals, not just, you know, 5 minutes in the morning or whenever you have time. We need to give God the best of ourselves. We need to give God the time that is due Him. I mean, we need to spend time with God every day. I mean, if we're not spending time in His Word, and we need, remember this, a lot of times we hear people say, well, God never speaks to me. I never hear from God. I wish God would just write on the wall or write in the sky what He wants me to do. But here's the thing, He already has, okay? I hear people sometimes say, I wish there was an instruction manual for life. And there is. The instruction manual for life is God's Word, is the Bible. And so I pray that you are spending time in God's Word every day. And I pray, one thing that I'm working on in my own life is my prayer life. I'm working on becoming a man that has a better prayer life. And praying is not just a wish list. It's not a, God, please do this for me. I mean, praying is listening as well as speaking to God. So I pray that you are spending time worshiping God through music, worshiping God through, honoring Him with your money, with your time, with all of the gifts that's been giving into your life. I'm also praying that you spend time in His Word, and I'm praying that you are spending time talking to Him every day. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and pray. Our Father, we come before You, and I thank You for this opportunity. God, I humbly ask You to speak through me. Is that these words that I speak are not my own, but they are Yours. And I pray that You would use this podcast for Your glory. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that the people that You would have to hear this podcast, I pray that they would hear it. And I just pray, Jesus, that You would bless those who listen to it. And I pray, God, that You would use this podcast for Your glory. And God, those who are listening and those who are not, I pray that You would bless them, that You would encourage them, and that You would strengthen their walk with You. And God, I just pray that You would fill them with Your Holy Spirit. I pray that You would fill me with Your Holy Spirit. I pray that You would fall fresh on me and that You would chisel away all of those things that do not honor You. Lord, if there's anything in our lives that does not honor You, I pray that You would remove those things. I pray for grace and peace to be extended to the listeners of this podcast as well as myself. And I just pray, I praise You for the Apostle Paul. And I just pray that we can learn together in this podcast. I love You, Jesus, and I just praise You for my listeners. And just fill them and bless the rest of their day. In Your holy name, amen. All right, thank you for listening. And I pray that you have an awesome day.